like bad music only. What are these dorks doing back? What did you do to get another podcast? We thought that was just a once a year thing now. Uh-oh. Times change. People have ideas sometimes, and sometimes we like to see if they work. And joining me for those good or bad ideas, we of course have my good pal Garten.
Ayo.
I bet you thought you were sitting there making a bet with yourself. She's going to say the T word, isn't she? Be honest. You were betting on it, weren't you?
I was thinking of it.
She's going to do it. Yeah, no. It's what at least 50 minutes in front of a mirror practicing gets you. It's the kind of dedication I put into a podcast when I bother to do them anymore. How you doing, Garten? You ready to talk music again? Remember this?
Yes, I'm ready.
You're ready, Eddie. All right, and of course, the deadliest of dad vibes is, of course, with us. It's Psychic Heist.
Hey.
Hey,
that's my dad voice.
It even cracked. I like that. Very prepubescent dad voice. I like that. This is my dad voice.
Watch out, children.
Dad ever. You are the best dad hosting a music podcast. That's what I think. For my money, best dad that is currently hosting a music podcast.
Well, thank you. That's right. Fuck you other dads hosting podcasts. I'm the best.
Yeah. So. Get fucked, other dads. How you feel about that? Don't know where I was going with that, but it works. I like being needlessly hostile toward other podcasts never know who we are.
Yeah, especially the fathers.
I have to imagine that's a very specific subset of podcasters. Dads. How many dads are podcasting, I wonder? It just feels like...
I bet there's so many.
You think so? I mean, in modern day, yeah. Because what else? I mean, especially... I have to imagine, that during, the 2020, 2021, the number of dad podcasts probably shot through the roof. Because what else do you do to keep yourself sane? You talk into microphones about Funko Pops, I guess. Yeah, that has got to be the most boring podcast on the planet. Funko Pop Land or some shit. Is there a Funko Pop podcast? Funko Podcast? Funko
Pods? It has to exist. God, that has to exist.
Most boring.
I'm sure it does.
The most unimaginably boring podcast in the world. Jesus Christ. I look at Funko Pops and literally throw up in my mouth every time.
I worked with a gentleman who collected them. Ugh. And then one day, I think they just had an episode where they realized they had too many. Mm-hmm. So they gave me a bunch.
Oh, just give them to the kids?
Pretty much. Yeah. They got something out of them. I will say I have one Funko Pop I bought on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that was Strider.
That there are two Funko Pops I would buy of my own volition. They did Bill and Lance Funko Pops, and I would have I saw them at Walmart, but it was just like,
the temptation is strong.
It's like the worst possible combination of evil, right? Funko Pops and Walmart. I feel like I'm just conjuring some kind of just evil deity there, but yeah, it was just like, I don't know. Do I want to do this? Do I want this ugly ass thing in with my cool fucking anime figures? Come on. Do I want fucking pop-headed Bill and Lance hanging out with Cosmos?
With their dead cold button eyes.
Exactly.
I have next to my fucking $150 Rei Ayanami thing, I've got the four Outer Senshi Funko Pops.
Even Garten can be swayed!
Power of Sailor Moon, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it works. Oh, god damn it. I don't know why we went down this rabbit hole, but I don't know. That's what
we're starting a Funko Pop podcast.
We're going to just start a Funko Pop podcast. I will be the newcomer that's unfamiliar, and y'all can elucidate me on...
let's put it this way. If I had as many Funko Pops as I had guitar pedals, I might be equally as happy.
I keep being reminded of that image of the dude posing in front of his big Funko Pop collection, and then there is another picture of Gunpla, and there's no dude on it, and it's just like, you know, which one do you prefer? And it's just like, I don't know, the one where the guy doesn't need to be the center of attention. It's such a great, like, just putting those two side by side, where it's just like the guy in the middle just basking in his kingdom of shit.
Look at me.
And then there's just
we like add toys only.
And then there's like this five shelves of awesome Gunpla figures that just speak for themselves, no person needed. And it's just like, yeah, I'm going with the Gunpla. I've got like five from Witch from Mercury I need to put together.
That's awesome.
All right. Anyway, nobody came here for this, but that's what you got.
That's what they need.
That's what
they
wanted.
That's what they needed.
We like bad pop. We like bad toys only coming next year. So stay tuned for it. But why are you here? We like bad music only. What are we doing? So welcome to like a brand new series of podcasts. From your pals that we like bad music only. We're gonna be doing something a little different here for a bit. This is something that I think kind of harkens back a bit to our music podcast roots as the Album Listening Club, kind of. But it's kind of got its own little tweaks and little spin. So you may have noticed when you downloaded this one that it's called Show and Tell. And I've decided to call this one Show and Tell. And that's exactly what it sounds like. Each of us is going to bring an album to the table for everyone else to listen to. And then we'll talk about it. That's the way we, you know, that's where the Album Listening Club started. But the difference is that for each run of episodes, there'll be like a light theme going on about how each album is picked. So, for example, we are starting the series with this first run of episodes, and the theme is something along the lines of, like, an album that may surprise people to know that you like, or it's something out of your wheelhouse. Something that would just genuinely be, like, a surprise. So the format is going to be a little different, too. Each episode will be presented in two parts. The first part will be where the presenter shows what album they've picked for everyone to listen to. And that presenter will talk about that album, give us their history with it, or any other details they want us to know going in. And then we'll gather some thoughts, a bit of a rundown. But we're going to hold off on hard opinions, even from the presenter, until part two, where we will then have them lead the discussion of that album. And I think this format works because it also gives the listeners an opportunity to go listen to the album beforehand on their own, so that they can feel like maybe they're a little part of the conversation too when we get around to doing the review episode. So that's kind of the format. I don't know that if we'll need to change anything going forward, but I think that it seems pretty plausible on how we're going to handle everything. So I guess with all that out of the way, and after this incredibly intense game of Scrabble we had about an hour prior to recording, kind of determine the presenting order, Psychic Heist just coming in first place, just quite handily, will be the first to take the Show and Tell floor. And just got, I tell you, you're not going to win very many Scrabble games when you're trying to just make all your words, you know, euphemisms for dick and fart. That is not a strategy I recommend to anybody. Not a lot of points in those words.
But satisfying when you can pull it off.
It's as satisfying as just letting a big hearty one rip when you can finally throw down fart and it works. But
when
you
can finally make a presence.
It just did not work. It did not. That is not a strategy that I believe I will be employing in the future.
Well, so this was a fun idea, mm-hmm. and I felt like it would have been very easy for me to kind of pick an album that would be out of my...
I'm going
to
cut you off. I'm going to cut you off right there.
What?
Your choice cannot be the 10 albums that Psychosexual released in one day. No. Not. Nope. Nope. Not doing it.
Polly. Garden. I said the T word.
Ah, I win! I win!
Look, I'm a little flustered. I'm a little flustered because I prepared a essay on presenting 10 albums, and I've been working on this all fucking month.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, yeah, no, I there's me, we got to be reasonable here. We have to be reasonable. We can't ask
let
people.
Let me look.
It also can't be Radiohead. That's actually against Garden's contract. Like, we actually
do Tomorrow's Modern Boxes.
No, we literally cannot have a Tom York or Radiohead project on this show because Taylor's contract is ironclad. I'm not going. Look.
Look. If you wanted to talk about the Benz or OK Computer, that's okay. Fine.
Like Garden is a lawyer. Do you think that, like, they set up that contract, and I'm just like, I'm looking at all. Look, I'm the one that was trying to play fart and dick words in fucking Scrabble, okay? I'm the last person you want negotiating contracts. So I was just like,
I just love my boyfriend, and I just want to talk about his incredible work of art.
We like good Tom York only, coming 2026.
Yeah. All right. Okay. If we can't talk about.
No Devil Daddy. No Tom York.
Actually,
mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I have something similar to Torch the Faith. There is an item that is similar to this other album that I could choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna let's keep that in mind. And,
okay.
And I think I have an album. You know, this is difficult because there, of course, I could take random genres that I don't really know anything about, right? And mm-hmm. and pick something out. So that would have been easy. On the other hand, I think picking an album that would surprise y'all, I don't know what would surprise you all, because I feel like we are still discovering, like, this friendship of ours. We're mm-hmm. still kind of discovering our tastes, right? Like, mm-hmm. I have a much better idea of y'all's taste mm-hmm. because you had like 7 years of podcasts.
Sure. Yeah.
Before me. But I think I have it. And my album that I'm going to present you all with is Amanda Lee by Mandy Moore.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm ready to get... You've piqued my curiosity. Like, as somebody who has literally only ever heard of Mandy Moore in passing and never heard a single note of a single song she's sang or written or been on. This is, I'm sitting back and I'm just, all right, this is exactly what we were hoping for with show and tell.
See, I was a wee little babby child when Mandy Moore was a popular singer, so I can picture a few tunes from Now That's What I Call Music Collections.
Yeah, and since Polly, you don't know too much about Mandy Moore,
sure.
I figure I can just go into a little bit of what I know.
Sure, let's get some history for this, for the people that are following along.
Garden, if there's anything that jars your memory while I'm talking, please pitch in. So let's travel back to the late 90s. Let's take a little time travel trip.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very popular song released September 29th, 1998.
Your personal 9/11.
My personal 9/11.
I love exact dates.
Well, this was a big one for the pop music scene.
Mm-hmm.
Baby One More Time.
Oh, yeah,
from Britney Spears.
Yeah.
All right. Exploded. Boom. Like, this huge pop radio single. It became one of the best-selling songs of all time.
I was in high school when this happened.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was six.
Yes, you host a podcast with a bunch of old fucks.
And I mean, at the time when I was like getting crushes and on, you know, the on TV stars and mm-hmm. pop stars, mm-hmm. Britney Spears was definitely like, ooh,
she didn't do anything for me, but for something about that, the Christina Aguilera Genie in a Bottle video got me. It's like, ooh.
That one
was mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Christina always seemed dirty and nastier. So I was just like, yeah, I think I dig the chick that probably a little more kinky.
Literally, she would come out like a couple years later with the single Dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that was a big moment for pop music. Mm-hmm. And so when like music execs in the industry sees that, they're like, what else can we do to get money out of this?
Yeah.
So yeah, out of that, we're talking to Christina Aguilera. There was Jessica Simpson,
mm-hmm.
And then the subject of this discussion, Mandy Moore.
Is Mandy Moore the one that got caught lip syncing?
No,
that was Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson. Okay, I remember one of them doing a kooky little dance on SNL, and
that was like, Jessica Simpson's sister, I think.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. The other Simpson.
Okay,
yeah.
it was a Simpson.
Okay,
yeah. Maybe I don't know if someone wants to fact check that, but.
We do not fact check on these podcasts. I ain't got time. We live in a world where facts don't matter. And I hate saying that because it's literally the truth.
No, unfortunately. So the thing is I can sort of remember the Mandy Moore song that came out during this time. It was called Candy.
Yes.
And
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Is that one? That one?
Not the MC Chris.
MCP pants?
Yeah, MCP pants. Or Aaron Carter also had a candy song as well.
This was just a shitty cover, though.
Yeah, I think so. I vaguely remember this.
I only remember that because it was on one of those Kids Bop things or something. I remember vaguely seeing a commercial for it, so...
So, I thought it'd be fun if you want to try it, where for a second there, we could all just kind of listen in to the Candy song, just to be like, just to give you an idea for a minute
mm-hmm.
Of what it is, and like, kind of look at the video for a second, just to be like, okay, I can see exactly who they were trying to copy here.
Yeah,
Zack Snyder direct this video.
That's
so immediately. I'm just like, this is great value, Britney Spears.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you definitely get the vibe.
But this was a big hit.
It didn't take much. They found a formula with that whole. Yeah. That whole era of bubblegum pop and boy bands and girl bands, like that whole, they had a formula and they just ran it into the ground.
Funny enough, this was something that she would later on disavow. And it's kind of her creep. You know,
she's never going to play Candy at a live show. And if she does,
I think now she's embraced it kind of like Radiohead has.
Radiohead started playing it
on their last tour.
They started playing Creep again, like during while they were Moonshaped Pool. Long before that. It was like 2000.
It was like
2000.
Every now and then, right?
It was like 2009, 2010. They started sprinkling it in more regularly.
Yeah, yeah. But same sort of history of,
you don't want to play the fucking song.
Right. Especially like she's 15 during this.
Yeah,
and...
like what could you possibly relate to as like a 30-year-old woman? you know, right. singing candy now.
So I don't know.
I'm looking up the people who wrote this song, and not only have I never heard of these three, I can't find any other significant songs they've ever written.
Yeah, that's the other thing you're going to find. You can find a lot of just other kind of producers. So I don't know. We don't, you know, if you've got the idea, we can continue.
Sure.
But that is my memory. Mm-hmm. That is my memory of Mandy Moore's okay. music career. I know her more for being a movie star, mm-hmm. Like kind of this movie star in the 2000s, where she was really just kind of like an ingenue girl next door type right. for your romantic dramas and comedies. Mm-hmm. But there was a role that I distinctly remember she was excellent in, and I don't know how well the movie holds up, but at the time it made an impression. That's the movie Saved. Mm-hmm. And she is cast in this as like this uppity high school Bible thumping conservative Christian, but she's an antagonist. Like she's just completely like a bitch and just wicked.
That's real cool.
Yeah. It was a turn because we're again, you're kind of used to Mandy Moore being more the
you're going to be the girl next door / protagonist.
Yeah, and I don't know if John Fire ever listens to these things, but I know he's mentioned the Tangled franchise before mm-hmm. on the Sox cast. Mm-hmm. Mandy Moore is the voice of Rapunzel.
For that. Oh, okay. That's cool.
I've never seen those movies.
As well as the TV show. And to keep it even a little bit more dorkier, she is the voice of Aeris in Kingdom Hearts.
I would not have guessed that.
Yep. So that's about all I know about Mandy Moore, except for this other unfortunate thing.
Uh-oh.
She married singer-songwriter Ryan Adams. So I take it y'all know. So for those who don't know...
Yeah, go ahead and fill them in. Color in the lines.
Yeah, Ryan Adams has always been a bit of a controversial, outspoken, he's got a ruffle the feathers mm-hmm. type of personality in the music industry. But in 2019, was accused of sexual assault by at least 7 women, including Mandy Moore.
Yep.
So a real piece of work there.
Yep.
And we will probably return to that point in the next episode.
I noticed. Yeah. See what I noticed? Like I'm Wikipediaing this album now, and I see that
it ain't on Spotify.
I see that like all songs written by Mandy Moore, and like you, this is probably very personal. You don't find that a lot. You don't find that a lot in pop albums. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that pop stars can't write songs, because I know that she probably did write more, but like I'm looking at her previous album prior to this one, and she's obviously got writing credits and stuff, but
I think that's where it started.
Yeah. Okay. But
it was more like you are this person also, in the music industry machine.
But
we're
also
just gonna crank out tunes.
Her using her legal name as the album's title is also another one of those things where you get okay. This is going to be serious time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not. I don't want you to think this is like.
No, I'm not going to say that this is like some big introspective concept album, but I'm just going to say that maybe with these are like again, we're just kind of like going first impressions here because I've never heard this album, and I think that this is the fun part of this format is everybody just kind of gets to spitball a little bit. So it's just like, I can see maybe some of her actual personality and things that have happened to her coming into focus a little bit. Like, because usually when you name an album like this, you use what's very much not like, you know, it's not a glam shot. It's not a glam. It's just, hey, here's, you know, a picture of me. And, you know, she's a writer on all the tracks, and, you know, so that's kind of just the vibe I get is maybe there's going to be some, like, actual personal stuff here.
It's that is very good guessing going on there.
All right.
And just kind of speak to what Garden was saying, you cannot find this album on streaming services. That's what links it to Psychosexual, by the way. So, yes, you cannot on Spotify, on Apple Music. Hell, it ones up Psychosexual. You can't even find it on Bandcamp.
I have to wonder if it's just due to the label that it was released on.
I don't know. I've tried to research this as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It seems like at one point in time it was on streaming, mm-hmm. and like one of the other albums was it, and mm-hmm. then it switched.
I think the previous one.
But yeah, you can't even buy this album. Well, I didn't go too deep into investigating this, but I couldn't buy the album digitally. So I had to buy the CD for this. Mm-hmm. And I had to buy a portable CD player, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh my God! Yeah.
I mean, I think I might have one somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know I have one in my basement.
You can listen to it on YouTube.
Yeah, we got it on YouTube.
But I was just getting pissed off at the fucking ads. You know, I just want to listen to this album
That's why I just
I'm one of those suckers who pays for YouTube Premium.
I ripped the audio using a service, and then I just, you know, reformat the ID tags and stuff, and just okay, now I have the album. Slightly lower quality, but it'll get the job done for what we need to do.
Yeah. So and of course, anyone who wants to look for it, that's where you're gonna go, unless you just want to buy the CD.
And if you're looking for that on YouTube, it's Amanda Lee, AmandaLeigh.
Right.
So.
So it's interesting. This album was released in 2009, mm-hmm. and we're talking like, hey, this seems like she wants to be taken a little bit more seriously, more of a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not get into opinions on this, mm-hmm. so I'm trying to step around.
Sure, yeah.
But that's one of the things, is it was released in 2009, and then she wouldn't follow it up until 2020.
Yep. Well, she got busy, like we said. Like, she was doing movies.
She was actually pretty quiet during the 2010s.
Oh, really? I just kind of figured that's when all that Rapunzel stuff happened. So
there was that in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then there was, it looks like, a handful of smaller movies mm-hmm. in the later part of the 2010s, but relatively quiet, especially after you hear the thing. Again, I can't get into opinions, so...
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I think a big part of that has to do with Ryan Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I guess to talk a little bit about the album itself, and again, this is something I am a little bit out of my element on, mm-hmm. To me, it looks like the first kind of focused effort, as we talked about, where it's just her and the producer, Mike Viola, writing the songs. And as you mentioned, she started writing songs on the previous album, but that was with different collaborators. Mm-hmm. So this is just like, no, a single source. We're just working together.
Like you are this is your writing partner for this project. Yeah.
Right. And I think this really has created a relationship between the two that's very creative and productive, mm-hmm. Because she has continued to work with Viola.
So he's on every track of the next album. So
every track and the next
and,
one.
And in real life
as well. 2022. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hear this record, you'll at least agree that Viola's kind of classy and sort of tasteful style in his production, mm-hmm. Kind of complements Mandy's as well as his voice. Mm-hmm. And as far as like the influences on this album, I think Mandy Moore has talked about she has just a strong love of like 70s music, especially like folk pop and a little bit of country.
Okay.
So she cites Paul McCartney, Joni Mitchell, and Todd Rundgren as her primary influences here.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I think it's just, again, important to point out, this is like the record where she's trying to come into her own, have her own sense of style.
Yeah, like that, that's cool. Like to have gone through, as I've heard it called, the Britney Spears machine, you know, and then come out the other side and wanting to be something more substantial. Like that, I can always applaud efforts like that. Like I will always be happy to listen to a singer-songwriter album of somebody coming from that world, somebody like wanting to try to kind of like be more personal. Like even when like Avril Lavigne started, you know, doing more of her own work, it's just like, you know what, I'll give th- it's not for me, but I gave it a shot, and it's like, it's still just not ain't gonna get an Avril Lavigne like out of me, but I respected it. I believe Pink is in a very similar situation, but I liked Pink even when she was having other people write for her anyway, because Pink is awesome.
Yeah, Pink had some, that's some good stuff.
Yeah,
I can vaguely remember from the '90s, early
mostly early 2000s.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where I'm gonna leave it. Okay. Y'all want to give any?
Garden, do you have any like preconceptions going in? Like, what's your thoughts going into this?
Yeah, the only song of hers I've ever heard is that fucking Candy song.
Oh, all right. Well, then you like you don't
always.
Go ahead.
Let's put it this way. I remember her as somebody who tried to transition from pop into movies, and she was in a few big deal movies, but it didn't really take off. And more recently, I've known her as the main character in that show, This Is Us.
Which wasn't my thing,
but it was a she's like Milo Ventimiglia's wife or whatever. It wasn't my thing, but it was a big deal. You know, it was a hour long show that lasted on broadcast television for six seasons.
Yeah,
so.
Like that's a hell of a run.
Yeah.
You know, even when it ended, it was still pulling in like 8 to 10 million viewers a fucking episode. So
yeah, that's pretty wild.
So it was a pretty big deal, but yeah, it wasn't my thing, but it was a big deal.
Cool.
But yeah, this, I have no idea what to expect.
Cool. And we, I guess then if there's nothing more to say, we leave it to the listeners to join us on this journey. I don't know when we're going to try to get back together and get this, you know, the net. We kind of work this stuff out behind the scenes because we're all very busy adults. So, you know, we won't be too long, I imagine. But
this is not a particularly long record.
Yeah, this is like a 37-minute album, which that's like literal 2024 standards right there, honestly.
Yeah, that was short for 2009, but it's average nowadays.
It's average or longer now. Like most albums run 29 to 32. I was actually listening to a new album the other night, and I just got pissed because it sounded so unfinished. And it was just like, I want to like this. It was the new Mick Jenkins record, The Patience. I got mad because it was just like, he's rapping so good, and these songs are so good, and they're all like 2 fucking minutes.
Yeah, I'm finding I'm having that issue with some rap albums.
I'm just
as well.
Running into like, issues. Just like,
I really
no.
Like what you're in. I really like what you're doing, but just give as I'm about more. To get into it,
it's done.
Gone.
Like yeah. I can't do this like 2-verse bullshit where it's just like, oh, then the song comes in at like 2 minutes 12 seconds. It's like okay, like if you're gonna turn me off to a genre, it's like that's kind of gonna be the thing that's gonna do it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yeah, These are appropriate runtimes for punk albums, not rap albums.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can get a lot done in a punk song in 2 minutes, 30 seconds, but with like a rap CDs. Song where, you know, you want to hear somebody go and you want a hook and you want things to really kind of meld together, it's not going to work. But that is not the case with the Mandy Moore album. I have a feeling that 37 minutes is probably a sweet spot for a pop record. I don't even know what kind of pop record it is. I don't know if it's like, so I don't even, I have no, pre, like, it's like, I know it's not going to be bubblegum pop at least. So, but yeah, I have no idea what we're in for. I'm excited to find out. Unless y'all got anything left to say about it, we can close it out here and then we'll be back for the review episode.
I think all I got to say to you know, close out my part is I'm curious on what the takes will be on this.
Yeah, this is not what I saw. Because
I feel like it's also kind of out of y'all's wheelhouse as
well.
Oh,
it's definitely out of my wheelhouse. I don't pursue a lot of pop music, but I don't hate pop music because as I've demonstrated on podcasts in the past, I like a lot of pop music. Actually, it just takes a bit for me to kind of latch on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you like music that has very poppy.
Absolutely. I love a lot of really poppy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, gosh, I think Cody and Cambria can
write some
really
Cambria,
poppy licks, you know? They're great.
Exactly. So I'm all here for that. I'm not just all I need loud walls of noise to hit me in the face 24/7. I don't need that.
Need death grips all the time.
All right.
So that's where I'm going to leave. I'm going to be curious. What this is going to be.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is a fun project, and we hope y'all give it a listen out there yourself, and then when we come back together to talk about it, maybe you'll have some good thoughts reflected your way. Maybe we'll make you mad. I don't know. We don't know how this is going to go. It's the best part of this just being completely unknown because, again, we don't know who's going to suggest what going in. This is completely blind. All right.
This will be fun.
We will catch you when next we are together for the review episode of Ashley Lay by Mandy Moore. And until then, go listen to more Mandy Moore and Death Grips.